Yeah, well, remember to vote on Tuesday, unless you're like those people, and then let the smart people decide who's going. And by the way, you know, really, I do think that's just a great opportunity we do have. And the cool thing is, if your person doesn't get elected, you get a shot in 4 more years, and that's awesome. Well, you know, we could talk about the election, but I know that's a sensitive topic. So instead, we're going to talk about money today. Isn't that great? Yeah, I'm not even kidding about that. So we and ushers too. There's room over here on this side of the auditorium, and maybe get a couple chairs because you all got an extra hour's sleep. And I was over at the Issaquah campus, quite a crowd over there, and I made the mistake of saying, "Hey, why don't you tell the person next to you what you did with your extra hour's sleep?" And one lady, not very appropriate, she looked at her husband and she said, "Do you really want to know what we did with the extra hour?" And I said, "No, I really don't want to know." You know, it's you know, there's just too much information out there. Well, this last week, obviously, you know, we had the begging ritual of Halloween, and my daughter would not trick or treat in our neighborhood because the candy bars aren't good enough in our neighborhood, she told me, and so she went to another one. And I was thinking about that, not just about my failure as a parent, but thinking about how we, this is cathartic for me. I hope this is helpful for you this morning. But also just our positioning of ourselves. We always position ourselves to get, not to give. By the way, I don't think that makes you a bad person. I think that's actually fairly natural. I think that God wants to reorient our nature actually to one that's really brings more peace and blessing. Generosity, and we've been talking about building hope, the vision, about everything that God is doing. And this, by the way, if you're not part of this church, these what I'm going to teach are primarily biblical principles, very little to do with specifically what we're doing. And so you can take this home with you to your home church, or if you don't have a home church, find one. Maybe it'll be this one, which would be great. And you can apply these principles in your life, because there's God's principles. 2,300 times he talks about money in the Bible. And oftentimes we think about, oh man, I don't want to give anything, or I don't, maybe not to that level, but we're fearful. And the interesting thing is, when you position yourself where you open hands to God, and then that allows God to fill your hands again. And so let's talk through that. One of the things I like about you as a church is that you don't get weird when we talk about money. We don't talk about money a lot. Really, about once a year, I try to teach on stewardship. I know that disappoints many of you. You want me to teach on it much more often. And so this is that once a year we talk about it. By the way, there's a blessing in it. I used to get real nervous talking about money because people get angry. Well, they don't get angry when you talk about money. They're just angry if you talk about actually giving something. And so often I avoided that. And, you know, over the years I've had to deal, you know, to deal with this rejection, I've had to develop quite a bit of charm, and that's helped along the way. And so what I want to do is, if you'll take your outline out of your program, as we build hope, and we are talking about what God is doing here, in a couple weeks we'll receive that special offering, but what I want to talk about is what God does in our heart and how we respond, and maybe even if we should respond at all. First verse in the Bible, some of you are going to the Seahawks game, you'll see this one today. It's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he" what? "He gave." So this is really important. Your giving, whether it's money or, and I'm going to primarily talk about money, but whether it's money or time or anything else, is always a response into what God has given you. You never take the initiative. Christianity is different than other religions, where you just have to seek God really hard and you find him. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, that God actually seeks you out. And that's the difference, that if you look, God is there and he's present, that God sought you out when you were not seeking him. It says in the book of Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's very, if you've studied world religions, this is very different. And it's not only based in something that's speaks to our heart. It's based in history and archaeology. And as I said, anyone who opens themselves up to God, I believe you'll become a Christ follower. It is logical. We can see throughout history and God present today. So God gave, and then it says, now this is talking about salvation, gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So here's my key thought, is grace merits a response. And part of that response is generosity. We read the Apostle Paul, he talks about something that's very much like the Building Hope Initiative, at least the financial aspect, because it was a sort of a special need that arose. And he's talking to the Corinthian believers, and he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, because there's a special offering taken. Not reluctantly, so don't hold back, but also not under compulsion. Don't do it because someone made you do it. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things will you circle all. Having all that you need, will you circle all. You will abound in every good work. Will you circle every? See, as I've said before, I spent a lot of time and money going to seminary and getting my master's and doctorate. And after all that study and learning Greek and Hebrew, I found that the Greek word for all means all. Isn't that awesome? Could have saved $40,000. So it means that God is present in that every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life that God is present in God really wants to bless you. And when it comes to generosity, as I said, most of us are not active and intentional. We're passive, and we just respond to manipulation. And so what I want to do is look at what does the Bible teach about this? So the Bible, when it teaches about generosity, a biblical plan for giving and generosity, first it talks about priority giving. It talks about how we make God a priority. Now, by the way, for some of you, this is just going to be good. Most people in this area, really in our country, if you looked at it nationally, but even in our area, we don't feel like we make plenty of money, but you really do. And you have financial problems. And I'm not saying you have financial problems because you haven't given enough. I'm not saying, make Jesus your choice and you'll drive a Rolls Royce. I don't buy into that theology. But you have financial problems. I'm glad you like that. That's great. Because you don't get the pattern of how to operate. So here's how most of us deal with money: is that we spend, and then we save, and then we give. And you know what happens to many, many people? You don't save much, and you don't give much, because you had great intentions before you walked into Costco, didn't you? And I know we have a lot of Costco people who go here, and you give me a discount, and I won't talk about Costco anymore. No, I cannot be bought, but can be rented. I talked about that last week. But we had it, and so when we start there, we never get around to the other two. Doesn't mean you're bad. It just means that you've positioned yourself financially where it's never going to turn around. See, it turns around when you set your priorities differently. And this is not only good for giving to the church, this is just good for finances. So first, the biblical priority is first you give. Here's what it says. I love this paraphrase, so I use this. Proverbs 3:9, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and best, not the leftover. So first we give, and then we save, and then we spend. And it's interesting when you pay God first and yourself second, and then you don't have to worry about the rest. It's interesting. Some people are very critical of others because they have nice things. I don't buy into prosperity gospel. I don't buy into poverty gospel. Both are equally unbiblical. Because as you find in the Bible, you see people like Abraham had in tremendous wealth and honored God in all that he had. See, it's really, am I putting God first? That's the important part. And then there's prudence, as Solomon talks about, with our savings. And then we live on the rest. And for some of you, all you got to do is just do that, and you're going to have a happier marriage, and you're going to be less worried about work and everything else because you've positioned your life that way. Now, some of you are saying, okay, Ben, you're just saying this because it's self-serving, you know. But I don't get paid on commission. I just want to let you know that. I really don't. I didn't become a pastor because I wanted to make a lot of money. If I wanted to get rich, I would have went into modeling. So first there's this priority giving. And so that's what the Bible teaches. And then primarily the Bible talks about the second is percentage giving. It uses an archaic term. It's called the tithe. It's actually a mathematical term for you math people, which is almost all of you. And so it literally means one-tenth, that you give one-tenth to the Lord. And some of you are saying, what does this have to do with the Building Hope Initiative? If I don't teach this, I think I could become a fundraiser. I don't really want to be a fundraiser. I want to be a pastor. And so I want to teach this first, and then we can talk about that a little bit later. Is that okay? Okay, it says, so one-tenth belongs to the Lord and must be set to him, apart to him as holy. And so that's what it teaches about the tithe. And then it says, Deuteronomy in the Living Bible paraphrase, the purpose of the tithe is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Now some people, I have an advantage over many of you because I was not raised in a religious environment. Some of you have a reaction to this, and you have all sorts of religious barriers. I didn't have any. I came to Jesus, and what I understood is that when I came to him, he owned everything in my life. So I got to tell you, I've never struggled with tithing because I figured 100% of it was his. And this is before I became a pastor. And so that 10%, sure, no problem. If I ever stumbled along the way a couple times in my early 20s, but most of the time I've been able to get back on track with that. But some of you have this, well, it's an Old Testament principle. By the way, theologically, and I don't care what you've been taught, biblical theology is the tithe was instituted before the law, so don't give me it's the law, and Jesus upheld it. We see that in Matthew 23:23. Yes, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the most important things of the law. And by the way, what if it was like not in the New Testament? Doesn't love demand more than law? I mean, what if you operated in your marriage that way? And you say, you know, honey, I'm not legally obligated to do this. Try that, guys. See how that works for you. It doesn't work, right? You say that just wouldn't be smart. See, I didn't use the word stupid. Anyway, so it's a reorientation of the heart. By the way, if you're here and you're not a believer, I don't even know why you'd give anything. But if you're a believer, if Jesus Christ has your heart, then you have to understand what that means, is that I'm not my own, that I'm bought at a price. And that includes your money, includes your sex life, includes your time, and all of that. And so we're really talking about that. And so the Bible talks about that we give God our first and our best. And I know some people say, well, I tithe my time, so I don't tithe my money. I just want to say, and this is, you can leave the church after this, but please apply this. Obedience in one part of your life doesn't excuse disobedience in another. So, a little harsh, but it is true. And so, God, it's a whole reorientation of our life before God. We, you know, one of the things we do once a year, I usually talk about this, and I give a tithe challenge. I'm not going to do that this time because I think it could confuse us with the Building Hope Vision Initiative. So, I mean, if you want to start tithing, we will not deny it, so that will be okay. By the way, as a church, you know we tithe. We more than tithe. In fact, we'll probably give 20% of our income outside the walls of the church this year because that's really significant for us. We need to model as a church what we ask you to do. So if we talk about generosity, then the church needs to be generous. We need to be a blessing to others as well. And we also fiscal order. We do that too. We give and then we save and then we spend. We do all of that as well. So what I want to do is to help you with this is hear one of the stories. I've had about a couple hundred people I've met with in information meetings regarding the Building Hope Vision Initiative, and people start talking to me about giving and tithing. It's not even part of the meetings. We don't ask for money. We don't even ask for a commitment in those meetings. We just give you information. You get to hear cool God stories, so make sure you get to one of those. We really want everyone to go to one. But people have shared their stories, just they've taken the initiative, and I want you to hear one of those stories when it comes to this, really, for some of us, a sensitive area of our life. Take a look at this.
I'm Michaela Brewer. I've been here for 6 years.
I'm Andrew Brewer, and I've been here for just over 6 years, and this is our story. Tithing was something that we never really ever had an issue with. It wasn't something that we felt was bad on any level. I mean, obviously, biblically, it speaks that we're supposed to give 10% of what we make to God. It was just a matter of really doing it. We were a young couple, just got married, just really starting out, and it was one of those things. And it's not that we couldn't, I think it's that we didn't want.
We chose not to justify tithing.
And so this last February, when Ben did the 90-day challenge, we were talking about it on the way home in the car, and we were just like, you know what, let's do it. Ben flat out said, we'll give you your money back if you feel like nothing happens. And so we're like, well, really? We got nothing to lose on this. So quite honestly, it's such a small thing for a pastor to get up there and say, oh, this is a 90-day challenge and everything like that. But that small little thing was probably one of the most momentous occasions within our lives.
Having 4 miscarriages by the age of 22 was not. It was very confusing, and I struggled a lot because I did not understand why God would allow us to get pregnant and then to lose a baby. And I think the 4th miscarriage, it just, enough was enough. And I was very angry, and I was very broken. When the 90-day challenge came forward, someone had came to us and let us know, you know, we saw your prayer request with church or through the little connection card. You know, we are praying for you. And that was the first time that I was really willing to accept that the family here that we have at Timberlake was behind us and supporting us and there for us in such a private moment.
This is one of those things. It's like, okay, I've got to trust. Mm-hmm. I've got to trust that through all the crap, all the pain that I've suffered, that my wife has suffered, that that there's something to this. I am not a man who believes in coincidences. I'm not a man who believes in luck. And I think that when the 90-day tithe challenge was thrown out there by Ben, it was for a reason. It's not an easy road. It's not. But the rewards of it are fantastic. I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, the reality, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 5, is that God really wants your heart. And he knows how we're wired, and he knows what it takes to set you free financially. And so that's a step that I think some of you, I've had people, and honestly, we didn't even do a tithe challenge. I've just had people already in services just say, okay, this is something I need to do. Even before or above Building Hope, I need to do this thing. And I would just want to say, if that's, listen to that voice from God. So this first part I taught on, I know this is a pretty long introduction, is biblical theology with money. And I thought I needed to do that. And this third type of giving is really with the Building Hope Vision Initiative. So take a look at that. That's progressive giving. That's giving over and above what you normally would. And the first passage we read in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, was actually Paul taking us, these people were already giving. And so it means that we have opportunity to invest. And that's how what we're going to try to do, which is really a momentous task, is going to happen because people are saying, yeah, over and above, I'm going to invest in God's work because I see the need, I see the opportunity. If you've been to the vision meetings, you know, sort of the culmination of where we're growing as a church, some favor with in the building process, and all of that's coming together. And just to let you know, and I know as I share this, I'll probably be misunderstood, but go ahead and misunderstand away. But I think it's important that you understand that my wife Terry and I are doing the same thing. And so as we tithe, we've always been tithers, that we're going to do over and above that. And for us, I'm not going to give you a number, but we're doubling our tithe for 3 years with that. And for some of that, we had already given a little above. We had to redirect our giving, and then we had to add to that as well. I'm going to talk about functionally how that happens for some of us, because I know that can seem like a daunting task. And I'm not saying you need to double your tithe. You need to listen to God in that. But that's that progressive giving. But so as I'm thinking about this, I always think about what are the barriers to generous faith? Because I guess most of us probably want to, but there's barriers. Because otherwise, we would. Some of us do, some of us don't. And there's a story in the Bible. It's about these, Jesus tells this parable, these three men, they get a lot of money by their master to invest. Two of them do real well, and one of them just basically does nothing with the blessing he's been given. And so we learn a lot from that. In Matthew 25:14, it says, as he's basically talking to the master, he gives an excuse, and he says, I was afraid, and I hid your gold in the ground. And basically, I was thinking, what are the excuses that I have when it comes to this? Not just in general with my relationship with God, this could be helpful to you or not. And what are some of the barriers? One is often I think I don't have much to offer. You know, I don't have much to offer. I always look at, compared to, Oprah and the Gateses and, sometimes I feel like, really, God, what do I have to offer? By the way, and it's funny because people are just coming up to me. One person came up to me, very humble circumstances, single mom, and was just describing her process because I shared a little bit some of the numbers last week and what God was calling her to do. And just she had gotten a raise and was saying that was a blessing from God. And I was just so humbled from that, it just doesn't matter what you ought. It's like, God, with what I have, I will give that to you. One parent told me that they're, because our goal in this is 100% participation for Building Hope. Now, I didn't give you a number, but I really, if this is your church, my goal is that 100% of us will participate at some level. Because that's the only way this is going to get done, quite honestly. So that 100% of us, no matter what God would tell us to do, we would participate in some way. One lady said that her daughter, her teenage daughter, was already saving up babysitting money. Isn't that, that's a good parent. By the way, when you teach generosity, that's raising good kids. You don't want to be raising the next Honey Boo Boo, do you? Yeah, no, you don't. And so what you do is you teach them, some of you don't know who Honey Boo Boo is, and that's because you're smart. Anyway, it says that I will do my part. Now I showed sort of the giving chart before, and you can take a look at this. We'll just throw that up real quick. And with that, you throw that up real quick. So maybe quicker. No, just kidding, guys. You'd never say anything bad to the tech guys because they can make you look really bad. I've been warned that they have a blooper reel that's ready to go at any moment. And you don't want to ever see that. So, but what it looks like is that according to our ability, which is the parable of the talents, and that's the thing, the Bible really does say that. That's why God never gives an amount, he always gives a percentage, is that over a 3-year commitment that we would invest so much. And it shows the types of people. Some of you say, I have high capacity, so I can do a high capacity gift or mid capacity or wherever. But it's going to take 100% of us doing something over a 3-year period. And that can be, if you have money up front, that's great. It could be, people have described, you can go ahead and, that makes people nervous, so go ahead and take that slide down. And but it just is all of us doing something. And I would say you go to the point of reason. And well, let me go there. Okay, so let me talk about the second objection I have. Sometimes I'm not sure how this would work. So here's what we do. I have these buckets. And if you're like me, you have buckets where your money goes. Can you make sure this gets up on the screen? Yeah. So you have certain buckets of where your money goes. And this may not be totally inclusive of everything, but you have this as a small table. So this is just representative of this. So we have so much that we have. And part of it, whenever you plan, by the way, you should plan your spending and plan your giving. And it's something that just takes a little bit of logic. So with that, in our bucket, we always do our giving tithe up first. And then we do mortgage because we want a place to live. And the mortgage company is not very forgiving. I put up here clothes, and I thought that's probably, but my daughters, this is a big bucket in our household. And but this, there's things that I'm not including. Savings, I talked about that. That's another bucket. Travel, entertainment, another bucket. I'm sure I'm missing a lot. And with that, and so really, as we've been looking at how we come up with that number, we've said, okay, God, we're going to have to take from certain buckets and just reorient. And by the way, sacrifice can be a good thing. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you want to make a gift that costs you something at some level with that. So we've been looking at what we do. Well, our giving, that's our regular giving is going to stay the same. If you move your regular giving to Building Hope, that makes you look cool, but helps no one. And so savings, we've looked at some of the savings because we are savers. So we have a little bit there. Entertainment, travel, that's one that is one that we're looking at. Someone said, you know, well, you should try camping. That's a great way to do that. I'm not a camper. I don't save my money all year long to pretend I'm homeless for a week. That's not something that I'm really up to. But there's, I know some of you are campers, and that's awesome. But you, like, have those big rigs. That's not like camping at all. So for us, it would be a tent. And so I'm not going to pretend to be homeless. So we're going to find another way to do that. And so what we're doing is just saying, okay, God, with that, I want to plan that. And then there's a part of it where you take a little bit of a step of faith too. And you say, okay, God, I believe, because I feel there's another bucket, which is God's bucket, and that sometimes he can work beyond the math. And so I always want to be stretched a little bit in that. So God will pour into my bucket in some ways that doesn't make sense mathematically. Now, I'm not saying if you make $36,000 a year, you make a $250,000 commitment. That's called bad math. And but it's just, you know, sort of, so we always say, okay, what's what we can do and take one more step. And this is just the process. We didn't use buckets to go through this process, but this is just a process that my wife and I have gone through to come to this. And as you pray through this, as you're part of the Building Hope, the financial part, you need to pray about it. And you know what? God may give you a different number than your spouse if you're married. And whoever has a higher number heard from God. And I just want to settle that right now. And just in case you're wondering. So a faith commitment will not make you comfortable. It won't, but it'll give you peace. And there's a difference between the two. So in a couple weeks, we're going to be receiving our commitment cards for the Building Hope Vision Initiative. And what I'd sort of want you to do is when you take this home, maybe you fill it out, but don't turn it in right away. And just say, okay, God, what would this mean? Because if you haven't been here the last 2 weeks, then you're going to totally miss the why. Because God is changing lives in such a significant way with a group of people, honestly. For some, it's just growing deeper in their faith. For many people, it's many people who have lived their entire adult lives, 30, 40, 50 years without God, that it's worth it. It's worth every part of it. And we're doing this as we respond to God's goodness in our life. Here's what I go through. Okay, now's not the right time. Now's not the right time. This was us. We have a child that's about ready to go to college. And that's great. College is not cheap, if you didn't notice that. And there's always, you know, the car. I need a new car, but I feel like I need a new car. And so there's things. And here's a lot of us are sort of if, when, then givers. But when never happens, so then never comes. You know what I'm talking about? So if I get this taken care of and there's no problems. But you know what? There's always a bill. There's always a career change. There's always illness. There's always an election. There's always whatever. You know, so it's one of those things that can always be a barrier when it comes to generosity. And then I think for some of us, maybe a little bit more on the cynical edge, would say, what difference does it make? Now, in the story of the parables of the bags of gold, the talents, if you learned it in the older part, he thought what he would do would make no difference. And he missed the point completely. If it wasn't about God changing lives, I don't think it would be worth it. I mean, yes, will there be tangible benefits? Will you get, we'll have better space for your kids. We'll be able to do midweek stuff, yada, 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 adult education. So you will benefit. But please, that can't be your only motivator. It needs to be us giving our lives away as Jesus Christ gave his life away for us. Because we call this building hope because there's people who are giving up. And there's people who feel like there's no hope for them, there's no grace for them, that God couldn't love them, God couldn't transform them, God couldn't heal their relationships, God couldn't set them free from addiction, God couldn't cover their past. And that is at the heart. Please do not misunderstand me. This is big and get involved, but get God's heart. So we saw three testimonies last week of people who came to Christ, three young guys. We heard a great one the week before. And for those of you who are newer around here, in the last 12 months or so, we've had over 100 people baptized. And just want to show you a little bit of a highlight of that, and then I'm going to explain really what that means. Take a look at this. It's people finding Jesus Christ. It's people finding hope. It's God changing lives. I want to end with the scripture. Ben, you can go ahead and come on up at this time as I read the scripture. says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." You've done it. Thank you. You're doing it again through Building Hope. It's been cool to be part of a church that, as we've laid forth what God has been doing, the vision God's called us to, that it's been, people are saying, "I want to be part of that." People are brand new. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the future. He's been awesome to us. And as we take a step of faith, I think that one of the greatest things that's happening during this vision initiative is that people were drawing closer to a church, as a church, and God is increasing our faith. Well, we're going to receive our offering at this time. And so